Okay, we're up to Perek Dalid Pasik Zayin. Pasik Zayin. It's one thing I want. I left out from yesterday. Pasik Vav Toiv Meloi Chaf Nochas Meloi Chaf Naim Amol Luru Usruach. There's a beautiful Marsha in Masech the Megillah on this Pasik Vav, and that is in reference to Haman Harasha. When Haman Harasha came to take Mordechai to parade him in the street and declare Kochay Yosel Leish Shem Melech Chofetz Bikaroi. So Mordechai was learning, was in the middle of giving a shiur to the Tatinoikos Shel Beis Rabban, and Haman waited outside until he finished his shiur. They were frightened. They heard that Haman is coming. They were frightened. They ran away. And Haman asked the people, "What are you learning?" So he told them that Mordechai was teaching the sugya of kmitza. Kmitza is you make a karbon, you have a karbon mincha, so you're supposed to slice your hand into the flour, take three fingers worth of flour. Every mincha, you put on the mizbech the kmitza. It's a small amount of flour. Hashem only wants from us a small amount of flour to offer as a karbon, every karbon mincha. So Haman said that your small amount of flour that you offer on the mizbech, and which you're learning about, has overpowered my 10,000 talents of silver that I paid to kill every single Jew. And the Marsha says, L'kayim asher ne'emar, what it says here, Toiv miloi kaf nochas. It's very good, because miloi kaf means literally, what is a kmitza? A kmitza is you fill up your hand with flour. You bring a mincha, Yisrael brings a mincha to the kohen. The kohen, the chav, he takes a slice of a small amount of mincha, a small amount of kaf of nochas that is done to give a nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a karbon, that was more powerful, it overpowered mimeloi chofnayim, my fistfuls, meaning all of the heaps of coins that I've presented Achashverosh as the price to annihilate Klal Yisrael. Mimeloi chofnayim omol uru usruach of my hard work, uru usruach and my evil spirit, my broken spirit, which in this context means my wickedness. Everything that I tried to do to destroy Klal Yisrael has been overpowered by the small amount of flour that you have offered and you offer as a karbon mincha. Tineka Shel Beis Rabban?
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Tineka Shel Beis Rabban. I don't know. Does it?
It happens when the rebbes go to the country
with a but on a regular basis, right? On a regular basis, you know, we have a shir kavua.
Let me tell you something. I went to Boba this
week. Yeah.
Kindergarten to eighth grade. The Baba Vareva never came to class.
But you had Lando coming in.
Oh, yes, the Shirk getting clapped at the giving class.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what to say.
I think that Marsha is directly from Esther Rabba.
Esther Abba, it's a medrash, right? It's the medrash has the word for word. Okay, it's a good. Okay, fine. Let's now go to pasuk ches. Yesh pasuk zayin. V'shafti ni go into section. V'shafti ni v'eret hevel tachas hashemesh. I've taken a good hard look and I've seen another hevel tachas hashemesh. Now, okay, fine. Now, this really, we'll just do the next pasuk together. Pasuk ches, because the pasuk zayin and pasuk ches they go together. Yesh is a long pasuk. Yesh echad v'ein sheni. You have a situation in life where there's one person, there's an individual, the Ein Sheni, and this individual does not have a partner. And we'll see, as Rashi will explain, there are many different types of examples of this situation. Gam Bein V'och Ein Loi, this individual does not have a child, does not have a brother. The Ein Keitz, so therefore you, the Ein Keitz L'chol Amolo, and you would expect, so why is he working so hard? What is he working so hard if does not have any children, and does not have a brother? There is no one from his close relatives to whom that will benefit from his hard work. Yet there is no end to all his hard work. Gam eino ketzakrivchsev lo sispa osher. His eye is never satisfied from the wealth that he has accumulated. Ulemi ani omel. And the question one has to ask is to whom we're putting the question that he should ask. Ulemi ani omel umechaser es nafshi. To whom am I working so hard and denying my neshama mitayva? Gamza, this situation where you have such a person that behaves like this is hevel the inyan rohu. Let's jump to the mitzudos. Pasik vav and pasik Zayin, okay. Pasuk Zayin. I'm sorry. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Zayin. V'shafti Chazarti v'reisi davar hevel hana'asa ba'olam. I've seen another act of futility that is taking place in this world. Okay, the Shemesh, he's translating for the world. We had many times, the Shemesh means the world. And what have I seen? Yesh echad. We have a situation where there's an individual. Yesh adam sha'ose ma'asav yichidi v'ein sheni imo. We have a situation where a person acts alone. He's all alone. V'ein sheni imo, and there's no one, there's no partner with him. There is no one together with him to help him in his hard work. He does not have any yorshim, not a brother, not a son that's going to inherit his hard work. Every moment in time he's working hard, he's not resting. He does not have satisfaction from the wealth that he has accumulated in the past. He's not satisfied. He does not have rest. He wants to accumulate more wealth. Lo yachshav loymar. So here he's saying here. So with the mitzvahs, it's in some explanation. Lo yachshav loymar. Okay, does not say this in the pasuk. It never occurred to the person to ask this question. What?
To stop and think.
Lo yachshav does not stop to think. Loymar to say b'shvil mi ani amel u'machasres nafshi mitayvasa hashked avamenucha. For whom am I working so hard and denying all benefit? By denying myself from the good, the rest and pleasantness in this world, halay ein li ben va'ach, I do not have a son or a brother. Lareshes I see the ezoiv imkain la'achedin cheli. Who then will take all my money? The government, and the government will distribute it to all the citizens of the country. For who? For what? So what do I care? I have to go kill myself for this. Gamze retzolaymar. Now here's where he's very interesting. The Mitzvah very precisely explains this. Even though, and I think that's what he means, this ties back to the previous pasuk. The pasuk is V'shavti ani, I saw another hevel. That even though in the previous psukim I have made mention, we have discussed the futility of not working, that sometimes working too hard is also hevel. The extremes are no good. It's not good to not work, and it's also not good to work too hard. Gamzeh Rotzolaymar, this also, Gamzeh Rotzolaymar, Av Shehabatola Migune, even though Batola is Migune, Mikol Mokoim Marbis Ha'emol Hu Hevel the Inyan Ra. Working too hard also can be Hevel the Inyan Ra. Okay, so therefore the Targum is very, this is pretty straightforward. We're dealing here with a person that works too hard. He works too hard and there's no one that is going to be the recipient of his hard work. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin Tachas HaShemesh K'moy Tachas HaShomayim. Underneath the heaven. Okay, fine, this is simple. Yesh echad, Rashi elaborates a lot. Yesh echad, Rashi gives many examples. Yesh echad v'ein sheni. Yesh lecha adam sha'ose devarav b'yachidi. There are people who act alone. They're all alone. Gam bein v'och ein lo. Now here Rashi explains. Im Talmud chacham hu, einoi koine loy Talmud shehu kibein. The loy chover shehu keach. He's a Talmud Chacham. He learns all alone. He does not share his knowledge. He's not mamid talmidim harbe. He does not have children, the talmidim, or he does not associate with companions. Chaverim is equals to discuss what he has learned. V'im ravaku, if he's a bachur, a man who has not gotten married. He does not get married. A wife is called a brother. Why is a wife called a brother? Because she's a companion. And what does she produce? She produces a child. It's interesting, according to this interpretation, when it says in the pasuk gam bein va'och ein lo, it's out of order. Then according to Rashi, va'och is his wife, which would produce children. Okay, ve'im soicher, who the third example, if he's a merchant, ein akoin lo shutofim, he does not have partners in business. The yotzal l'derech yichidi. Rashi here is teaching us over here. You saw, and this is a very fascinating concept in business, and I think there are a lot of studies on this. Is people who have partners in business are generally much more successful than people who have who operate all alone. Even if your partner gets in your way, and is always a nuisance, just the fact that you have a partner and you agree on nothing somehow.
That's what they say in learning.
Sorry, that's giving you three examples. But he's saying over here, even in business, there is an advantage to having a partner in business. Even though you would think of a partner, I have to share all the profits. Somehow, maybe it's spiritual, the mazel of two people somehow causes success. Or sometimes just the fact that you have a partner, you're able to argue just as a stimulant. The fact that you have another person with you in the business that's always checking up on you and always fighting with you, even though he's always an impediment to growth, what you think is growth, you don't realize a partner somehow spurs growth. And that's what it says over here. He does not acquire partners in his business. He goes out to business all alone. Okay. So if Rashi has given us three examples, either dealing with a Talmud Chacham who does not have Talmidim, dealing with a person that chooses not to get married, or a merchant who does not have a partner. The ain kates l'chol amolo. Now we have to go back and explain each one of these three examples. If he's a Talmud Chacham, is yoga begirsa. He toils very hard to accumulate knowledge. Vim soicher hu amol bifrak matyo. He works to make money, business to merchandise. He Rashi left out the wife. Obviously, it's pashut. If he doesn't have a wife, I guess that was pashut. Gam einoy loy sispa oisher. He's not satisfied with wealth. Lo yehe sava b'tamei ha'atayra. Shaharbe Torah Lomad Odom Mital Midov. So now I'm not sure. Now if I would not know better, I would think there's a mistake here. I think you would say Shaharbe Torah Lomad Odom Mi Raboisav from his teachers. Even though I know that Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti Umital Midai Yoisar Mikulam, but that's exactly what the point over here of the pasuk is. The pasuk over here says that the person's sin is he has not taken for himself Talmidim. So, I'm not sure what. What I don't.
If he hasn't taken to tell Talmidim, then he's losing out.
He's losing out to do more, but.
He's losing out because he's not learning from Talmidim.
Lo ye gam einoy lo sispa oisha. But the problem is this: he's not satisfied. Lo ye he sovat b'tamei haTorah shehir b'Torah shahar. He's not satisfied with the tamei Torah. Lomad odam mital midav. All right, whatever it means. What? Yeah, but what's going on? What is the discussion? The discussion here is a person who has sinned by not having Talmidim.
Right, so his sin is that he's not able to fulfill his potential. Could learn much more.
Could learn much more. That's what it means. But then how is the next words? But that's not the Dibur HaMaschel. The Dibur HaMaschel is Gam Einov Leisispa Oisher. He's not satisfied with the Oish, with he's accumulating more. All right, we'll leave it what it is. Lo yehi sava betami atar shahar betar taro lomad adam mitalmidav ulinim hamamoin roidev tamid achar hamamoin. He pursues continuously mamoin ulami ani amel me achar sheini ma mitalmidim. See, it's a contradiction. See, ul achar sheini ma mitalmidim.
He doesn't have talmidim.
That's the sin of the pasuk. There's yesh echod the ein sheini. There is a person who is all alone.
The question is whether it's a negative or a positive. Because Rashi thinks it's a negative, right?
Well, Rashi is learning the pasuk. There's a person who is all alone, and the ein sheni, and he does not have a partner. And we have different examples: either dealing with Talmud Chacham, or dealing with a bachor, or dealing with a soicher. Gam bein v'och ein lo. He does not have he does not have a child and a brother. So there's no one that's going to be the recipient of his hard work. The Ein Ketz, and yet, the Ein Ketz l'chol amolo. Gam Ein Eloi Sispa Oisha. There's no end to his hard work. He's never satisfied. And he never stops to ask the question, Ulemi ani omel umechaser asnafshi mitoivo gam ze. And he never stops to ask the question. So here it says, Gam Ein Eloi Sispa Oisha, lo yehe sova b'tame atar. He's not satisfied. Shahar b'tar lo b'lumi tamidav. Ulein hamonam roda acham damad. Ulein hamonam roda acham damad achar mamon. Ulemi ani omel. Me achar she'eni mamet halmidim. After I'm not being mamet talmidim, the ainay noisa isha l'choilid, but I'm not getting married. So for who? Who is this all for? Okay, pasuk. Okay, who is this for? So that's what the pasuk concludes. This approach to life is hevel the inyan ra. Okay, let's take a look over here at the targum. Targum pasuk, pasuk ches and pasuk tes. Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Zayin says, "V'savis, I returned ano. I once again returned the chazes, and I have seen havlu the isgizar that has been decreed limiave ba'olmohadein tichoy shemaya." The extra word here that the Targum adds in is the word the isgizar. That's very bizarre, because over here we're dealing with a person, and a person has free will. So every person can make a decision. It's not been predetermined what that they're going to be people in this world that are going to work. They're going to work very hard, and not have anyone to support, and not have anyone to give their money to. Yet it says here that there's a gezeira in this world.
The person to be alone.
What?
To be alone is a gezeira.
Is it? Who says it's a gzera? Why is it a gzera?
Only people who have a shorter lifespan than married.
Is it gzera? It just brings me the Italians in there. I came back with this. You said that's a dera ba'olam. I see. In practice, that's what's happening.
Why is that called a gzera? Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I just want to point out.
It was they give him a shiva. Obviously, if he's not married, there was a gzera that he wasn't.
Who says?
Nothing.
That's kineged everything I've ever heard my whole life. It's in your hands. It's in your hands to get married. No one's holding you back.
But someone doesn't get married.
Yeah. It's a gzera min hashamayim.
30 days beforehand. So she's going to be stubborn because of him?
I don't understand.
30 days.
I bought him 40 days. Kaiden,
Kaiden. Yeah. He announced this girl is for him.
Yeah.
And he decides I don't want to get married for whatever reason. So what happens to that girl they announced?
That's his
decision.
She'll marry someone else.
Huh?
Marry someone else?
She becomes Balas Mo.
He gets first dibs.
She becomes Balas Mo.
It's not announced.
Okay, let's see. Let's go further. Okay, is givar next pasuk? Pasuk Zayin. Okay, I do not know. I don't know the answer. The word givar appears to be that it's a decree min hashamayim. Why is it a decree min hashamayim that a person should work and should make this? Every person has free will. This is a basic principle of this world. When you're dealing with things that happen in this world, okay, so then you can say min hashamayim, it's a gezeira min hashamayim. But to say that there's a person, and the ein sheni gam bein v'achin lo v'im ketz l'cholam lo, he has no one to blame but himself. Why are we calling that a gezeira min hashamayim? He emphasized this. This gezeira, I have taken a look and I have seen the hevel that has been decreed. I don't know, maybe he's saying there is such a thing, there is such a koyach in this world that there has to be people that make these foolish decisions. I do not know. Okay, let's see, next pasuk.
Are you referring to something in the previous
pasuk? I don't know, it doesn't seem. I mean, I don't know. I just want to make that point, I don't know. It's something maybe we'll come back to keep in mind. Pasuk ches and targum, iskevar yichida, there is an individual, of less tinyon, bar minei, and there is no second to this person. He's one without a second. You know, like there are two words in the Torah for beginning. There is rishon and the word reshis. What's the difference between the word Rishon and the word Reishis? Rishon has the a connotation of a series. There's more to come. Reishis means, forget about what comes, this is the beginning. It's choshev in its own right. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'es ha-aretz. The beginning is unique, is distinct in its own right. You don't have to go look at the beginning relative to what's going to come later on. Don't focus on the series. We say in Shemona Esrei, Hashiva Shavtenu Kivori Shoina V'yoatzenu Kiva Techila. So Techila is like the word Reishis. Reishis really is from the word is Rishon? I take it back. Maybe Techila. What?
Both of them are from Rosh.
Rosh. So maybe it's the word Techila. Making a mistake. Techila. Techila means the beginning. It's choshev in its own right. Okay, whatever. There are two. Whatever it is, but Rishon always is a part of it. There's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi. Rishon is always part of a series. Techila means forget about what comes later on. Techila verse the end. It's okay, alright, whatever it is. But over here, we have over here this person is Yechidai, he's one Veles Tinyon Bos Bar Mine. There is no one second to this individual. Af Bira the Af Acha Lesle. He does not have a son, does not have a brother. Limeras Yos Nichsoi. And to inherit Yos Nichsoi, to inherit his property. It does not say that in the pasuk. That has been added into the pasuk by the Targum. There's one Ve'in Sheni Gambeid Vach in Lo, and therefore what the Targum says, no one is going to be there to inherit all of his wealth. Similar to what it says in the Mitzudos. Umechasar Yos Nafshi Mi Te Vusa. And this individual, he denies his neshama from good. Akum ke'an. He divides. Now, part of at me too. So akum ke'an. Now, akum means I will get up. Ekum. The evade mine tzedakta. I'm going to give tzedakah. And to cause joy to people in this world, and rejoice with people in an olam haba, he doesn't do that either. Af dein havlu ugivon bishu. This is hevel the inyan ra. He doesn't say there is. He doesn't say. It's all going back on the word. He does not say. The person says, I don't have a child. I don't have a brother. And I've worked so hard. I might as well go and give away all of my money to tzedakah. And at least that way, I will give benefit to people in this world. And I will earn a ticket to Olam Haba. He doesn't even do that. And therefore, the pasuk concludes, this is hevel. One thing that was, according to the Targum, it would appear that if you work very hard, there are one of two possibilities to legitimize your toil and your denial of benefit in this world. Either you're going to give it over b'yerusha to your children, you will have the satisfaction of giving something over to you, which we said before was not the right thing to do. You should go and enjoy every last penny you have and don't care about them. Let the next generation take care of themselves. The hachai noiseyas atzmo. That's what the principle of hachai noiseyas atzmo. So, but over here he's saying, okay, but a backup plan. But there is a logic to say that even if you're not going to derive benefit, at least let my children, let my descendants, let them derive benefit from all of my hard toil. Or let me at least donate all of my wealth to tzedakah. And by giving tzedakah, I'll be doing two things. I'll be causing joy to other people in this world. Number two, I'll earn myself taking olam haba. He does none of the above. And this, he says, is Hevel Ur Usrach. So let's read the words of the Targum again one more time. The law, in the middle of the Targum, it says, V'lo Yemar Belibe. The person does not say, I don't have a brother, I don't have a child, and I have a great job, and I work day and night. So at least let me go and be mahanes someone. V'lo Yemar Belibe, he does not say to his heart, in his heart, Lama Dinon. Why is there this ano? Why dinon ano torach? Why do I trouble myself? Umechaser yos nafshi and deny my neshama may tevusa from all the good in this world for nothing. Let there at least be some benefit. Akum, let me at least rise up. Ke'an now. The aved minei tzid dakta, and I'll at least donate all of my money to tzedakah. The echdei be'ol mahadein in bnei enosha, and I'll have joy with people. I will cause people in this world to have joy. He doesn't say that, but instead he dies and he leaves over all his money to who? To the government. The government comes along. There are no yarshim. What happens in America, in New York State? Federal United States, and there's no Yerushim. Who gets all the money? They look for Yerush? Let's say they can't find any Yerush. The government? How far down do they look? Do they go up? They go. Do they look for uncles?
They probably put it in the paper.
They look for uncles? In the paper? But who are the relatives? Who do they consider to be the relatives? How many generations?
Legal notices.
Right. They paid
good money for
them. All right. So the bottom line we have over here, the basic interpretation we have over here, three mahalchim in the pasuk. We have the mitzudos. The mitzudos is very simple. A person who works very hard. Not only the thrust of the mitzudos is, not only is it not good to be lazy, it's not good to work too hard. That was his message. Because the previous psukim said the ksil, he puts his hands together, he folds his hands, and he says, I'm not going to lift up a finger, let the government support me, I'll go on all the programs, all of my entitlements. Not only is that no good, it's also no good to work too hard. Rashi said we're dealing simply with three different categories of people, a Talmud Chochom, a Ravok, and a Soicher. Who choose not to partner in order to benefit the benefit of companionship or the benefit of growth or giving over. If you work very hard, you want to really give over your knowledge to Talmidim, to the next generation. You want to have children to have a legacy. You want to have children for the purpose of giving over to the next whatever, giving over. And the Seicher also will have benefit of furthering his business. Okay, and then the Targum is fascinating. It's not talking just dealing with a person that works very hard and decides that at least if you're not going to give over to the next generation, Yoresh, at least give it to Tzedakah. You don't want to give it to Tzedakah. That is also a Hevel Ur Usruach.
According to the Targum, there's no concept of compromise. In other words, give to Tzedakah and give to your family.
There is no family. That's the topic. That's the point of this pasuk. In this pasuk, there is no family. He's all alone. Bein va'ach ein lo. He does not have a son and does not have a brother. So there's no one to give over to.
Okay. It wouldn't be so bad. Even though before he said that's not right.
That's okay. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk.
By the way, it's likely that the line in Adon Olam comes from here. But who echad v'ein shein?
Who echad v'ein shein? Laham shelo lahach bira. It's okay, it's a play on the word because it's not yesh.
It's the medrash. The first medrash, yes, it says it refers to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is echad.
The person who's alone says, I'm also in the Kabbalah Hashem.
And other individuals who acted on their own, like Abraham.
Okay. Okay, I don't have that medrash. Okay, that's the medrash Koheles Rabba? Okay. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk. Pasuk test. Toivim hashnayim minau. He elaborates upon this theme. Toivim hashnayim. These psukim, this pasuk test that we read really leads into the next two psukim, pasuk test and pasuk yud. Toivim hashnayim min ho'echa. Two are better. He explains why are two better than one. Asher yesh lohem sochor toiv ba'amalam. They have reward in their hard work. Let's read the next pasuk. Ki im yi poilu. If one person, if they fall down, if one of the two, lipolu is plural, it means if one of the two falls down, ho'echod yokim es chaviro, so one will pick up the friend, the iloi, however, ho'echod sheyipol, if you're all alone and you fall down, the ein sheni lahakimo, there is no one to pick you up. Okay, possibly, let's see, let's just see a few psukim together. Okay. If two people sleep together, so the body heat of one, the together increases heat, v'cham, it'll be warmed for them. Ule'echad, if one person is all alone on a cold day, eich yecham, how will be able to heat up his body? V'im yiskefohu echad, if one person is overpowered, if one person is under attack, and there's a person who's more powerful than him and overpowers him, hashnayim, then two, yamdu negdoi, gesundheit, two people will protect him. The second person, hashnayim yamdu negdo, it means together. The second person, together with the first person, will be able to stand up against the one who's attacking. And then he concludes v'achut hamishulosh. And if you could have three, not two, but three, loy v'mehero yinotek, it will not quickly be severed. It will not quickly be yinotek. Yinotek literally means ripped. Hataka ukriel. It's not going to happen quickly. That it's going to be removed. Hataka separated, severed. Okay. Let's take a look at the mitzvahs. Only the psukim pasuk test and the mitzvahs David. Pasuk test. Toivim hashnayim. Shnayim ha'iskim yachad. Yoyse toivim u'echad ha'isek yichidi. Two people who work together. Two people who work together, ha'oiskim yachad yoiser toiv minu echad, ha'oisek yichidi, is better than one person who works alone. Why? Asher l'shnayim yesh revach toiv ba'amolam. For two people there is benefit. There is profit ba'amolam. Ki yistaklu harbe, because they will profit very. He's going back to what he said in the previous pasuk. They will profit very much. V'loy kein ha'adam, not so a person ha'adam yichidi, not so a person who works all alone. Pasuk yud ki im yipolu af im shnehem yipolu b'shefel hamatzav, even if they both together fall. Okay, so yiplu is b'loshen rabim. If they both fall, mikol makom ho echad, one person yakim es chaver. So if you wouldn't know the pasuk, you would think that if one person falls, the standing man will pick up the one who has fallen down. Isn't that what? That's the only thing. You have two people, but what's the benefit of having two people? If one person falls down, you got a backup. There's one man left standing, and the one man that's left standing will be able to pick up the one who has fallen down. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says that even if they both fall down.
But, I mean, it says yiplu, so it means.
Yiplu plural. Yip, plural. So I would think it means if one of the two yiplu, if they will fall down, meaning one of the two. Kiyim yipolu. It's a shurak. When it's a shurak, it's the plural.
If it was singular, it should have said.
Okay, fine. So the pasuk is telling us the message, but it's telling us a very important message that it's not just that if one person falls down, the other person who's standing with him. But it means something much more powerful. It means that even if both people fall down, both people on the ground will be able to work together to pick each other up. Okay, when they broke out of prison about 2 months ago, could one of them have done it on their own? Not likely. They need a team. Yeah, you need a team. If you have one person in solitary confinement, it's not easy to break out. If you have a partner in the prison cell, then maybe together. even though they're both down, they're both in the matzah.
Shawshank Redemption, there was only one guy that broke out.
What happened?
There was a movie, The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Only one guy.
Only one guy. He pulled it off himself. Okay, but it's
not
a very...
That he embezzled the prison warden, and he got rich after he broke out.
Okay, but Kimi, there's a very powerful pasuk that if both of them fall down, it goes without saying that if one falls down and one remains standing, the one that remains standing will pick up the one who has fallen down. But even in a situation where both of them fall down together, when they're both on the floor, they will be together, will be able to find the solution to pick up, to pick each other up together. Kimi polu im af im shneim yiplu b'shev la'matzef mikol mokom hu echad yakim es chaveroi b'oifen min ha'oifen min ha'efanim. They'll figure out a way with themselves to pick each other up. The Eloi, however, on the other hand, Avol Oi Loi Woe El Ho Echad Sheyipol, woe to the person who falls down, the Ein Loi Sheni Li Hakimoi, and does not have a person to help him stand up. Okay, Pasik Yud, let's see the next Pasik, Pasik Yud Aleph, Gav Im Yishkevu Shnayim, Hevi Dud Min HaMuchash. He gives an example of something which we can sense. What do we mean? Yoimar, Hinei. Hinei Kasher Yishkevu Shnayim Yachad Be'ez HaKorv. Two people are sleeping together. I guess this means two men, right, in one bed. Today, this is criminal. Right, but the Supreme Court says it's mutter. But what? That he says it further. He goes on. He says it explicitly later on in a moment. Rashi says. I see. Rashi really. Rashi breaks it up. I'm sorry. I was referring to Rashi. Rashi breaks it up into two. Okay, but it means over here. Fine. If two people are together, ki im. So the body heat, each one increases the body heat of the other when people are together. It's impossible. Every single thing, just like we understand this, we can appreciate this as an example, a common example of people in ancient times. What was the mitzvah? Ancient times, you had one bed for a whole family. You have five sons, all five sons sleep in the same bed. That was the way it was. So the body heat of each of the children would increase. That was the mitzvah. So therefore, just like every single person can appreciate what this concept, so to this mitzvah, so to it's true conceptually that when you have a partner, when you have a business, and you have some type of organization where there are multiple people, ish esrehu yoimer chazak, each one is mechazik the other.
You use this when you have twins. Put
up signs whatever it's Tov Shnayim Echad. Tov Shnayim Echad. That's what they put up for signs for twins. Interesting. Okay. The Yim Yiskefoy Ho Echad Avonimi Baale Hazaroya Ye Enois Eso Echad Mehem Becheska Sayad. But what happens if one person is one? Let's say you have a situation where a person is a forceful person, a tyrant, overpowers one of the two people. So the second, the partner will come to help him. The MK, if so, Hashnayim Yamdu Neged Ho'anos, the Yuchluloi, two people will stand opposite the tyrant and overcome him. And then it concludes, V'achut Hamishulosh Chutch Hashazur B'Shloisha Kefulos, Loi B'Behiruhu Nikra,
a three-stranded cord.
There's nothing better than that. Nothing better than having three. Just like you can't braid unless you have three, you can twist. When you twist, you have to come on. When you twist, two things can be twisted together. But the problem is, when you twist, you have to twist it. Use the force of physics. You have to twist it. You have to twist it in a certain way. So the magnetic, not the magnetic, but the when you twine thread, so you take two. You take two threads, and you spin them together. So you need to do it in a very unique way in order that the pressure of the spinning should press where one cord would press against the other. But when you braid, you don't need to come onto physics. When you braid, take three cords and you make a braid and you bring the three together, you don't need to come onto any physical mitzvahs in order to have the three, because each one is mechazek the other.
It's also
What? No, but it's just, there's nothing you need. You don't need to do any spinning. When you take tzitzis, right? When you have tzitzis. Tzitzis are made from taking twos. All the tzitzis are made from two. They're two cords, and they're spun together. You have to spin in a certain direction. There's a chokhmah behind this. There's a mitzi. I don't know how this works, but you have to spin in a certain way so that the pressure of the spinning causes one chut to cleave to the other chut. I'm making use of science, of a force in nature, in order to guarantee that the two stay together. Look at your tzitzis, right? You look at your tzitzis. Your tzitzis, each chut at the tip, you see, is really two chutim. Why is it that these two stay together?
Glue.
No, they do that also. Okay, they put glue now at the tips.
Many times they don't, yeah.
Because they were not done well. So when you start to unspin it, okay, when you start unspinning, you'll feel pressure. Take your tzitzis, and you take two, and you'll see it's going to snap back into each other. Why is it going to snap back into each other? Because each one of the two was curled in the opposite direction. Okay, you have to take a course in
medical equipment, and they have built-in memory with wires that if you have to put a wire
up a
duct or an artery, it'll go in a certain direction. They instill, I don't know how it works, I'm not a physicist, but they actually instill some memory into the wire that'll twist.
It will remember. If you twist the wire in a certain way, it knows exactly which way to go. This is, I'm taking all your two cords, two tooth strands, I want to bring them together, I want them to cleave together. Even bring them together, you have to make use of something external. What's external? The force of nature. This mitzias, you experiment with your tzitzis, when you have two chutim, each one you spin in one direction, and then you take the two and you spin them in the opposite direction. And when you take two which are going in one direction, and then you two together in the opposite direction, that creates a physical force which causes the two to cleave to each other. So the two are not naturally cleaving to each other. It's only because you have taken advantage of the rules of physics to do something to make the two to come together. But when you braid and you want to bring together three cords, you don't need to make use of physics for the three to come together. Just braiding the three together naturally causes the three to cleave together without them separating from one another. Is that clear what I'm saying? There's a mile in three. I'm talking even in the mile in the chut hamishulish loyim meheri yinatek is a mile in mitzias. And if it's a mile to be true in mitzias, alachas kam v'kam, it's a mile when it comes to concept in partnership. Okay, now let's take a look over here. Let's take a look at Rashi. A lot of Rashi's here on these psukim, starting back with pasuk tes. Pasuk says, "Toivim hashnayim l'chol davar min ho'echad." It's always better to have two than there is to have one. L'tichu, therefore, yikne le'odam chaver v'yisa. Therefore, he gives the different examples. Number one, he says, "Yikne le'odam chaver." A person should have a friend. Kinei, he's quoting from Pirkei Avos. Kinei l'chol chaver. Even if you have to pay money, kinei means to purchase. You go to the shrink. There are many people, the only one that will listen to them is if you pay them money. So you got to pay $100 an hour, you go to the shrink. Number two is the Yisa Isha. Okay, marry your wife. What about it? Will a wife listen to you? A wife does not listen. I know someone who gives a daf yomi. He told me that his wife doesn't understand. He gives a daf yomi, and his daf yomi is even online. They even have, they told me, because he says, I don't know, you sit and you talk for 45 minutes, sometimes even more, and you give a shir, and you listen to people. I see you on the video. I saw the video. You're giving a shir online, and people ask you questions, and you listen, and you talk, and you listen for 45 minutes. And me, your wife, you can't even have a conversation for more than 3 seconds. This is a recipe for the marriage counselor, right?
That's the exception, not the rule. That's the exception.
That's a problem.
Most wives listen.
What? Okay, yigne lo yadam b'chav v'yisa isha. You should marry your wife. Asher yesh lohem revach, yoyse revach ba'amolam, they'll have much more benefit in their hard work. Harbei melacha nases b'shnayim. There's much work that has been accomplished in this world. She'ein hayochid maschil bo levada. That a yochid could not even start.
Wouldn't even attempt.
Wouldn't even attempt. Okay, even a yochid would not even attempt doing. But if you have a partner, then you're willing to attempt. It's so true. Okay, it's so true. So even learning, you know, you learn b'chavrusa. You can't imagine, even if it's not, you know, learning b'chavrusa. Sometimes you can accomplish great things. Pasuk Yud, ki im yipalu ki mashmoi. Simply means if a person falls down, if they both fall down, then like the Mesudah says, and each one together, they'll be able to pull each other up. Ule inyan hamishnah. Now he darshens this in reference to learning. And with regard to Mishnah here means in study of Torah, im takva alav Mishnah shaloi, chaveroi machzirim loi. If a person forgot his learning. Okay, takva means, you have to remember that Rashi's running during times when, well, that's not really true. Rashi was right. Rashi already, when the Gemara was already written. But if a person forgets his learning, if you forget his learning, then his friend will be able to remind him, will be able to restore what he has forgotten. If he's all alone and he forgot what he learned, who's going to be there to remind him? In takva lav Mishnah, shaloi, if his Mishnah, his study has become too difficult for him, chaveroi, his friend machazirim loi, will remind him what he has forgotten. Oy, im yikashel, if a person makes a mistake in halacha, v'loi dikteik, es asher shama, mipi raboi, bo chaveroi, umamidoi alo emes, his friend will come and will remind him that you're making a mistake, will correct him. But if he's all alone and he forgets what he has learned, who's going to remind him? If he makes a mistake in what he has learned, who's going to correct him? The e loy. Now here it's very interesting that how the oy loy. Pasuk yud. It's very interesting how he changes the. It could possibly be the Rashi different girsa in the pasuk. We had the e loy means what?
That's what he's saying. It means
oy loy. The Eloi, woe to him.
Okay,
in the Dibur HaMaskel, I have two words. What do you have in your Dibur HaMaskel?
We have Elo as two words.
We know that for sure?
Yeah, the printer put it in.
So the printer, did the printer have a different gear, sir? I do not know.
Oh, Rashi said, well, Eloi. So the printer made it the Dibur HaMaskel be Eloi.
Okay, the Mitzudos also, he says the same thing. The Eloi means, the Mitzudos also says the same thing. The Eloi means the Oiloi. Woe to him. The Eloi, woe to him. Woe to him, to who? To the Echad, okay, the Oiloi. Woe to the person who's all alone. Woe to the person who's all alone. Okay, next, let's go next. Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Cham Lohem, if there are two people, there'll be heat to them. Kimash Me'oi. Okay, now what does this mean? Simply, there are two people lying together, there's going to be heat. Uli Inyan, here is where he says, Zachar Unikeva. Uli Inyan, Zachar Unikeva, Mischamimim Zemize Umoilidim. Here is an extra point. Rashi is not telling us the obvious. Every time Rashi tells you something, he's telling you an insight, something new. He says that the heat, Mischamimim Zemize Umoilidim. What does that mean exactly? Each one stimulates the other. Okay, a man stimulates.
Not necessarily physical heat. Heat between the two people.
Right. Meaning to.
Synthesis of two is 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, that's what he says, exactly. 1 + 1. Right, Yechanami. Umoylidim mischamim zemized the Yetzahara. The Yetzahara of the man caused the Isha to conceive, and the Yetzahara of an Isha causes the man to cause her to conceive. That's what it says. What?
The desire.
A man sees a woman, he's aroused. He's aroused. A woman is aroused by a man. So if they're all alone, there's no arousal. And when there's arousal together, and then they're together, that causes umalid, they have children. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis in Rashi, v'im yiskevo echad, if one person is overcoming, bo listim, Allah l'takvay. If robbers come to attack him, to overpower him, im shnayim heim, if they are two, yamdu l'negdoi, so the two together will overcome the listim. V'kol shekein, certainly in gimel heim, if there are three people, the three people will overcome the robber. V'achut ha'meshulish loy b'meheri yinotek, will not quickly be severed. And that's even better. If there are three people, that's the ultimate. Period. Now, Rashi tells us a very famous chazal from a Sechta Kiddushim, Dover Acher, Mishehu Talmud Chacham, if you are a Talmud Chacham, Ubenoi, and your son is a Talmud Chacham, Uben Benoi, and your grandson is a Talmud Chacham, Shuv Ein Torah Pesekas Mizaroi, Torah will never leave. V'chein, Ho'emer, it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yamushu Mipicha, we say this every single day in Uvolat Zion, Lo Yamushu Mipicha, it will not be removed Mipicha from your mouth, Umipi Zaracha from your children, Umipi Zerah Zaracha from your grandchildren, Omar Hashem, he doesn't say the end of the Pasuk, Omar Hashem, Me'ata V'Adolam. Once there are three generations, V'achut HaMashulash, Loi B'meheru Yinotek, once there are three generations, not quickly will it be severed. Dover Acher, okay, Dover, another interpretation. Chut HaMishulosh, what does it mean Chut HaMishulosh? It means B'mikra U'v'mishneh U'v'derech Eretz. A person, it's a Gemara, a person who has Mikra, Mishneh, he has Tor Sheh B'chsav, Tor Sheh Baal Peh, and he's a mensch. He's Derech Eretz.
Hard to find all three.
Hard to find, impossible to find all three. Loi B'meheru, he will not come L'dei Chet. B'ponim Acherim Nidrash Ketz, that's already here, he gave us a whole list. Then he says, by the way, there's more, but I'm not telling you the rest, because the rest don't fit my rules. My rules, it has to be fit very well into the Pasuk. If the Drush does not fit nicely into the Pasuk, then I don't use it as a Perish. B'ponim Acherim, B'ponim Acherim Nidrash B'medrash. Other interpretations, Yesh Echad V'ein Sheini, Lo. And if I'm not going to go through all the different interpretations, because the psukim, because the old interpretations do not fit well into the pshat in the pasuk. Okay, so that concludes. There's one very important one I want to mention before we go further. But Rashi quotes this concept of v'achut hamishulish lo b'meheru yinotek. Three generations will not quickly. Rashi quoted, if you have three generations of talmidei chachamim, a father, a son, and a grandson, it's a guarantee that all generations to come will be talmidei chachamim. Taisvis, the Masech the Megillah says, there's one condition. The condition is they all see each other. You have to see. In other words, they all have to be living at the same time. If you have a grandson, it's a very big Talmud Chacham, but the grandson did not, was born after the grandfather already has died. And now when you look at the big picture, you have the grandfather, the father, and the son, the grandson, they all Talmidei Chacham, but they did not all live in the same generation, and they did not all see each other, then the brach of Me'atavi Adalam is not true. It all has to be in the same generation. Now there's another chazal, the gemara, there's a medrash. The medrash says the gemara, one of the amoraim, he quoted this chazal, and he said to him, really? I will show you a family where the grandfather, the father, and the son were all very big talmidei chachamim for real. And the great grandson, the fourth generation, was not a Talmud Chacham. So how would we explain that? So he said the answer is so he answered, it does not. The other Amora said, you're right. It's a good kasha. It does not say in the pasuk, "V'chut hamishulish lo oylam lo yinotek." If it would have said in the pasuk, "V'achut hamishulosh le'olam, forever will not be severed," then you're right. Then there will be a guarantee that in every single generation, 4, 5, 6, 7, will be talmidei chachamim. But it did not say that. It says lo b'mehera, will not quickly be yinotek, be undone, be severed, be removed. So what it means is all the pasuk means is there's a guarantee that the Torah will be machzeres al yoishna. In other words, if you have three generations, grandfather, father, and grandson, are all Talmidei Chachamim, there is a guarantee. Me'atavi ad olam, there is a guarantee that at some point in time down the future generations, the Torah will come back. You can guarantee, it might not be that generation 4 will be Talmidei Chachamim, but it might not be generation 5, but somewhere down the line, it's going to happen, there's going to be Talmidei Chachamim. That explains all these Balei Tshuva. Okay, all of a sudden you have Balei Tshuva, the most bizarre situations. You read all of these stories, what's going on in that project in Spire, they're working, they're all gearing up for Parshas Lech Lecha, and all these bizarre stories where people, so how do you explain it? Hashem is keeping Cheshbon. It has to have been that at some point in time back in history there were three generations, a grandfather, a father, a grandson, they were all real Talmidei Chachamim. It was the bracha. Amar Hashem me'atavi ad olam. Oh, but we find that we had a whole series of generations where there was a hefsek, it did not happen. That's exactly the point. There's a guarantee. It doesn't say in the pasuk chutam shushal lo oylam lo yinotek lo b'mehera yinotek. It's not quick that it will be severed b'mehera, meaning it could happen, but it's not going to completely. It's not going to happen that it's going to completely unravel. There will come a point in time where the Torah will be returned to its host, and in this family, Talmidei Chacham will once again come. That's how it says in the Medrash. One of the Midrashim makes that point. Right, Kalish, welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. It's been a long time. Good to see you back. Okay, now let's go to some of the other Midrash. Let's first do the Targum. Okay, then we'll do some of the Midrashim. We have a whole series of Targumim to do, going back, starting with Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes begins Tavin. Now this is a fascinating Targum. Okay, Targum over here is an interpretation that you would never imagine. Tavin train it tzadikaya bedora yatir minchat. It's better to have in a generation two tzadikim than one tzadik. I want us to take a step back. The Asara Harugei Malchus. One of the things that Chazal tell us about the Asara Harugei Malchus is that there was never a generation. Well, the Medrash Asara Harugei Malchus, where Hashem says, or the Malach tells Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, there were never such tzaddikim like this that were roy to be mechaber for Mechiras Yosef. So yeah, I have to elaborate. You have to look exactly what it says, but I think it actually says it. And what do you mean there were never such tzaddikim? There certainly were tzaddikim. Go throughout all the generations. You'll find throughout all the generations there were people that were equivalent to Rabbi Akiva, people equivalent to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean they weren't tzaddikim? The point that the Medrash makes and the Mefarshim elaborate upon is there was never a time when there were 10 tzaddikim of this caliber in the same generation. Every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides a tzaddik. They lived in one generation. One, it was a period of about between 60 to 90 years. All of the Asar Harugei Malchus died within a 60 to 90 year period. They didn't die in the same day. They didn't die in the same time. But it was considered in the Medrash to be the same generation. The tail end of the Churban Beis HaMikdash into the period afterwards. There was never a time when there were 10 tzaddikim living together. We mentioned the Avos. How many years did the Avos Lo Yimushim Bepichum Pizarachum Pizarazaracha? How many years did the Avos overlap? 15 years. There were 15 years in time when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were living together. If you can go back, I always say this: if you can go back in time on a time machine and you can live at any tkufa in history when you want, what would be a good candidate? I can't tell you this is the best time to live, but what would be the best time to live going back in history? I would imagine those 15 years to live in a tkufa, in a period of time where the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are all alive. Can you imagine such an experience? You go to Avraham, you go to Yitzchak, and you go to Yaakov. You go for brachas, you go to learn from them, you go to see them. Such an experience. They overlap by 15 years.
It's a silly question. Why not give the brothers the Shvatim themselves? The ones who did the Abeira, why didn't Hashem do it?
Well, they went into Golas. Okay, I don't know. That's the Medrash. But the Medrash points out is that there's something called a tzaddik living in a generation. And then there's something you see from the Medrash when you have multiple tzaddikim living at the same time in a generation. Every generation, you can say there was a certain tzaddik. A certain tzaddik that carried that generation. Sometimes they want to say there were more. There were two tzaddikim. There were three tzaddikim. That every, and it's all also it's all a question of how did you find a tzaddik? But here the Targum, there's a very fascinating Targum. The Targum says it's good. You're very fortunate if you live in a generation when there are two tzaddikim. Tovin Trein Tzadikaya Bedora. It's much better to live in a generation when there are two tzadikim in a generation. Yatir more so minchad when there's only one tzadik in the generation. Why? V'inun dimi dabrin b'mazala. You have Ravavin, you have different expression? Because they develop in the same mazel. Umishtamin miloy mi lehoin, and their words are listened. Their words are listened to. When there are two tzaddikim, it caused the mazel to be that much greater, and people take them seriously. People pay attention to them. The is lehoin agar tov leoma, and through them, when people listen to them, there is going to be reward. Agar tov leoma de osei bitur chehoin. There's going to be for them reward in the next world for their trouble that they worked. The trachu lesovara, to lesovara means to teach and to guide yos dorehoin, their generation. So he's saying over here an incredible thing. The words inun demidabrin demazola umishtamin milehoin. If you live in a generation where there are two tzaddikim, somehow the mazel of the tzaddikim is greater. They feed off each other, and they have much greater influence over their generation, in contrast to a generation when they're all alone, when you only have one tzaddik, and they're limited in what they can do to their generation. It's very interesting. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rav Moshe Feinstein, they were known to be, you know, that kufa, in the final years, people, they were like two, as I remember it. They were viewed as being two. They died the same year, 1986. Right? Wasn't that? I think they died. Okay. So it's just a very fascinating. This just really struck me when I saw this idea that two tzaddikim in a generation are better than one tzaddikim in a generation, because in the two tzaddikim in a generation, then the two tzaddikim have a greater mazel, their mazel is increased, and their words are listened to. They have more influence than if they would have been alone. Okay, the next pasuk yud, Arul. Now he goes on to say another advantage of having two tzaddikim in one generation: if one of them gets sick, then the other one can save them. But if the tzaddik alone is living all alone, then the tzaddik can't save himself. Ein chovush matir atzma mibeis suasurim. Targum pasuk yud says arum elohein, because arum means the two words go together. Im yipol chad minhon al arsa, if one of the two tzaddikim gets sick and lies down on his bed, the yishkoiv meira, and is in a bad way, Chad yikim yos chavrei bitzlosei, his friend will be mispalel and save him. The ilu chaduhu zakai b'lechoidohi bidorei. But if there's only one great tzaddik in a generation, then it's dangerous, because bi'idon di'ipol al arsei v'yishkoiv meira, if he gets sick and lies down on his bed and goes in an evil way, less lay bidorei chover tinyon, there is not going to be a second tzaddik litzalo'o alohi to pray for him, Elohein bischusei, so that in his merits yikum mimare, that he should get up from his sickness. So he's saying over here an additional thing to what he said in the previous pasuk. This is how he reads Pshat in the pasuk. The ki im yipoilu, if one of the tzaddikim gets sick, then ho'echad, the other tzaddik will be able to save him. But v'ilo, but oy, woe to him ho'echad sheyipol, if he's all alone, v'ein sheni lahakimo. Now the question is, what about the hamoinam? What about the regular people in the generation? Why can't they be mispalel to save the tzaddik?
The third best tzaddik, or the fourth, you know, is the whole line of the tzaddik.
That's what it goes on to say. It goes on to say that if there are many, the more the merrier, of course.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it says, v'achut ha-mishulosh. But he says over here, but it appears that you need someone of your caliber to be mispalel for you. The Gemara says that if you are the same mazel of a chayla, that is much more beneficial to the chayla than someone else. In other words, if a person is sick, and there is a contemporary comes to visit, the visit of a contemporary, which we're calling loosely a ben, your own ben mazel, your ben giloy, Okay, Ben Gile, which is similar to the concept of Mazel, has the much more power to be mispalel on your behalf than someone who you do not relate to, who's not your Ben Gile. Why? Because it's part of the team. When you're part of the team, it's... That's the question. Does it mean you were the same? Does it mean Kabbalah and Yonim? Does it mean the same month? The same... You grew up together, you were in the same class. You're contemporary. So the same way we have that principle, and when it comes to a Ben Giloy, the Targum is saying the same thing when it comes to righteousness. Even if the person is not your Ben Giloy, he's not your contemporary, but if you are considered to be a tzaddik, a righteous person in the same as the same caliber as the one who is chayla, only you have the power to cause the chayla to be mispalel, to cause the chayla to get better. But the regular person, a regular person who's not in that madrega, does not have that same power, does not have that same ability to be mispalel, to heal the chayla. That's exactly what the Targum says. That's how he's bringing to the pasuk. If there's a generation, two tzaddikim who are very, very great, there's a very great advantage in case chas v'shalom one of the tzaddikim is not well, then the other tzaddik has the ability to be mispalel for him and to save him. But if there's only one tzaddik in a generation, that tzaddik gets sick, there's no one to save him. A person can't save himself. Ein chavush, a prisoner cannot free himself. Mibeis ho asurim. Okay, but pasuk yavl is the last pasuk. We're running out of time. We have to do more psukim. There's more to do. So you know what? It's already at an hour, so we'll stop. We'll do it tomorrow. Blina da.
Doesn't it say in the Torah somewhere, if somebody learns Torah,
yeah,
he does not do the Torah mitzvahs that he learns, it's better that he not be born at all?
No.
Doesn't it say that?
You have to know what that means.
But doesn't that say? What does it mean?
It means if it's totally theoretical, if it's not...
See, I'm in that category.
No, why are you in that category?
But I'm not doing Torah mitzvahs. I'm in that category.
I don't know what that... I don't.
So what does that mean, theoretical? What do you mean, theoretical?
You're not in that category.
So Rabbi,
let's see.
Okay. No, so explain that. Explain what that means.
Well, let me see what's going on here. Let's see what's going on over here. Okay, Yud Aleph and Aleph. Page Yud Beis. And here is page Yud Gimel. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Welcome back. How was your summer?
Terrific.
Where were you? Florida. And in the mountains. The mountains.
Yeah, I was in Florida.
The beginning. Okay, I have two pages over here.
All the hotels closed.
Yeah, but Borough County is
there. Concord, Grosvenor, Tamarack, all gone. All gone.
The Alps.
So what is the Jewish Alps? What I just quoted.
The Himalayas.
He better not.
Don't worry, you're not in that category.
Why is it hard? I don't put on tikkun every day. I don't pray three times a day.
You're getting there.
I don't wear tzitzis every day. I'm not wearing tzitzis now.
Why don't you put on tefillin? Why don't you put on tefillin?
Well, I did put on today.
Okay.
So but I didn't have a shabbos. I just put on tefillin with the Shema. That's all I do.
Okay. So you're getting there.
The blessing and the Shema.
Okay. One day at a time.
Yeah, but still, I'm not doing most of what I
do. Do you have a plan that maybe one day you'll do everything? Okay. Then you're not in the category.
I know about everything.
Okay. But you're on the way. Long term.
I'm okay.
You're okay.
I'm guilt-tripping myself. I like to do that. I'm guilt-tripping.
Stop bothering me.
You're on the way.
I have no power to do that.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you.